I am grateful today to be an American. I'm grateful today to be a North Carolinian. Yeah. Tina's want me to go to Florida. Others has want me to go to Texas. Even Georgia's been mentioned. Everybody's leaving all them towns and coming to Carolina, though, so I think I might just wind up staying at Carolina. I'm glad to be where God has put me at. Amen. I have a message for you tonight to kind of follow up a little bit. I hope that your ears will be open to receive what God has. I want to share with you, I am not frustrated. I want everyone to understand that. I am extremely concerned. There's a very big difference in being frustrated and being concerned. I want people to hear God. Mm-hmm. People to hear God, and I want God to be able to manifest in everybody's life. And there comes a time in life that we are literally going to have to do certain things to allow God to move the way He wants to move. How many of you here would agree with me tonight that God does want to move in our church? Amen. I believe He wants to use each and every one of us here in our church. And we can't have God move if we're not all together in unity. So tonight, I just want to read a little bit of scripture to you. I want to give you a little bit of commentary on this so you can kind of see what God is doing. Verse 1, Acts chapter number 11. The Bible says, "And the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him." Isn't it just like religious folks to kind of grumble against each other? "They were saying, Thou wentest into the men uncircumcised, and you did eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me," and notice that this is in red type, "Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered to me again from heaven, What God has cleansed, thou call not thou common. That call not thou common. And this was done three times. And all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit," notice that's a capital letter, the Holy Spirit, "bade me to go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved." I wish you would star that verse, commit it to memory. "And as I began to speak, as I was telling them the words that they needed to hear, where they and everybody in their house could be saved, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. I want to talk to you just briefly here tonight, real quickly, in relation to a topic entitled The Power of Pentecost. The Power of Pentecost. There is, in the next 90 days, we are going to start celebrating from here to May the 19th. We are going to start to celebrate not only what I preached about this morning, which was the Passover. We're going to celebrate Easter. We're going to also celebrate the days of Pentecost. The next 90 days is very important. Tonight, I just want to quickly ask the Holy Spirit that He would use me tonight to speak to you so that you can hear what God has to say. A few days ago, I read an article that was written by Bishop Tim Hill. Bishop Tim Hill was the overseer of the Church of God for many years. Recently, he has left that organization because he felt like that they had walked away from what God wanted that church to do, and now he's more of an independent minister. But just before he left the Church of God, he went to Los Angeles, California, and less than 50 yards from where the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Azusa Street happened some 106 years ago now, he erected an assembly 50 yards from it, and now they have a conference meeting placed there where the Church of God comes together, and they began to pray for a brand new move of the power of the Holy Spirit. While he was there, he went out and he began to walk over the great Azusa Street revival, and he come right to the marker, right to that place, at the very site where the Azusa Street revival happened, where William Seymour, an African-American preacher, started a little assembly in a livery stable. And he began to pray for God to fall on his church one more time, like he fell on the church back on Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And as Brother Hill was sitting there praying, as he was sitting there going before the Lord, he said the Spirit took over in him and began to say, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again. He said, and the more he tried to get away from that spot, that the Holy Spirit was telling him that God was one more time going to pour out the Holy Ghost on his church one more time. I believe that we are going to experience a new day of Pentecost within the church in the next few months. I believe that it's already started. I believe that God wants Living Water Worship Center to be a part of that. Would you agree with me tonight and say amen? Amen. I want to share with you that Peter, up at this point in time, had been fasting. Anybody here have ever fasted for a long period of time? I tell you, when you're fasting for a long period of time, you'll start dreaming about food. And Peter went out while his fast was about over and it was time for him to eat. And he was sitting on the back porch and he kind of went into a sleep, a trance. And while he was there, he saw this vision that I began to minister unto you. And he was dreaming about food. I don't know about you, but I've been in the situation where I have fasted and I've got to the point where I dreamed about food. And I was hungry when I got up. I believe there was one night I dreamed that I ate half my pillow. I was so hungry. I know that as he starts dreaming about that food, God had a purpose and a vision for him. And in that vision, as I read to you, a sheet that they called it came down from heaven, and he saw all these unclean animals that Jews were not supposed to touch. They weren't even supposed to touch them. They weren't even supposed to get close to them. They would be rendered unclean. And each time that Peter began to move God and that come down on three different occasions, Jesus said, rise up and eat. And each time Peter would go against him and say, not so, Lord, I can't do it. This is unclean. And quickly Jesus said, never call what I am cleaning up unclean. I want to share with you that living water is being cleaned up by God. Would you say amen? Amen. Now Peter has a dilemma. Peter has got to go back to Jerusalem and he has got to report to the church why he wound up going to the Gentiles, because they weren't supposed to be together and they weren't supposed to kind of have any relationship with the Gentiles. But lo and behold, the story has been told that Peter has now left the church in Jerusalem and went over to Joppa. And now he's in Caesarea, and he has started having church with the Gentiles. And you better believe the church is all in disarray. They're all upset. So he goes in to the door and he says, I've seen visions. And while the vision was there, the vision lifted up, and immediately someone come to him and said, there's a bunch of Italian men that is standing at the door, and they are calling your name. And he went to the door and he said, you don't have to tell me what's going on. He says, I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons. Now, back in Acts chapter number 2, the Holy Ghost fell on the church. And when it fell on the church, the Jews thought they had a monopoly on that. They believed that they were the only ones that was going to ever experience that. But thank God that God had another plan in mind, and he planned to come and pour the Holy Ghost on the Gentiles. Thank God for that, because you have the opportunity to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe that God is wanting to baptize members in this church in the Holy Ghost, and I believe he's wanting to do it right now. Amen. What's good for the Jew is truly good for the Gentile. What God had for the early church, he still has for us today. The healing that he had in the first church, he still has it apparently for the church today. The deliverance that God had for the first church, he still has it for us today. The communication system that God had in the spirit for the old church is still available for Living Water Worship Center. I want to share with you, you are going to have the Holy Ghost to be able to make it through these next few months, these next few years, and the next few times that you live on this earth. You're going to have the Holy Ghost to be able to make it through. Amen. So now he's got to go back and he's got to validate what happened with the Gentiles to the Jewish church. And the only thing he could come up with to explain it is, hey, look, the very same thing that happened to us has happened to them. You see, I believe that God is no respecter of persons today. Amen. Peter had thought in himself that God had a respect for the Jewish people over the Gentiles. But now God has revealed to him that it don't matter who you are, don't matter where you come from, it don't matter if you come from the elite of society, it does not matter if you're in the lowest dregs of society, it don't matter where you are, don't matter what you've done, it don't matter what present state you are in, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is still for you. Amen. And he walked in and he began to explain to them. He said, they called me and they asked me to go over to them and to tell them words that they needed to hear to get saved. And he says, as I spoke without invitation, as I spoke without notice, as I spoke without warning, suddenly the Holy Ghost fell on them just like it fell on me and on us in the upper room. He said, there in the living room of Cornelius, there in that chapter, he said he came down and the Holy Ghost came and baptized his whole family in the power of the Holy Ghost. He came down with power and he began to save the Gentiles from that point in time. We need to thank God for that event, because it is that event that gives you the opportunity to have power over the enemy today. Amen. The Bible shares with us that in the last days, God is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Joel told us in Joel chapter number 2 that he would pour it out upon the old men, the young women. He would pour it out upon the old women. He'd pour it out upon servants, the handmaidens. The Bible says that he would do it. And in Acts chapter number 2, when Peter was validating what was happening there in the temple courtyard that day, when all of the nations of the world was there and was represented at that point in time, Peter validated that and said it like this. He said, this is the beginning, in the original language, this is the beginning of what the prophet Joel talked about. So what God done back 2,024 years ago outside of the temple of Jerusalem and in the temple court of Jerusalem, Peter validated then and said, this is the beginning of what God is going to do. And I want to share with you, God shares with us in Scripture that the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the glory of the former house. There is a move that is still waiting in the heavenly realm, waiting for us to receive it. And something is going to happen in the church before Jesus comes to rapture the church out that the church has never laid their eyes on before. Amen. So now for the second time, he's having to validate this by pulling back to what had happened some few days before as the Holy Ghost fell on them right there. How many of you remember reading about that in the scripture? How many of you remember reading what happened on the day of Pentecost where they were all joined together in one accord and they were praying and suddenly a sound come from heaven and filled the entire house where they were sitting and a fire showed up and a pillar began to walk through each and every one of them looking like cloven tongues of fire and set each and every one of them on fire. And as it did, they began to speak in another language, and everybody around him began to understand that these Galileans were speaking in a language that was literally their language, and they were unlearned, and God ministered to them speaking the wonderful and the great and mighty things of God. At that hour, the Bible says, when Peter preached that message, that 3,000 people came to the Lord. A little bit later on in chapter number 3 in Acts, they went out and they were going into the temple, and God added healing to that power as he went to the lame man sitting by the gate that was begging for alms, and he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And he jumped up and walked and went leaping and praising God into the temple. The people of that hour saw the power of the Holy Ghost. They saw the power of Pentecost. And the Bible says in another sermon that 5,000 came to the church in one day. The question is asked, why isn't the church growing? The question is asked, why isn't the church moving in the power of God? Why is it people getting saved? Let me share with you why the church is not growing. Let me share with you why the church is not experiencing people getting saved. Because salvation is needed still today. Would you say amen? The world still needs Jesus today. Would you say amen? The church still needs Jesus today. Would you say amen? Amen? The reason why the people are not receiving and the reason why churches are not growing the way they should, the reason why the transplant growth from one church to another church is the growth that a church has, the reason why the world is not being met is because people cannot see the power of Pentecost in the church anymore. We need the power of Pentecost. Tell your neighbor, say, we need the power of Pentecost. Amen. I was reading the story one time in Acts chapter number 10 about the outpouring of the Spirit in Cornelius' house. And I began to read Acts chapter number 11 about Peter's explanation when he got back to Jerusalem. And when I came across that story and I came across the passage about Peter speaking, and while he was speaking in the Holy Ghost, he said, while I was talking, the Holy Ghost fell on us. And I said, Lord, this week as I began to pray, I said, Lord, I want to be able to talk the Living Water Worship Center and have the Holy Ghost fall on us like they did on that last day. How many would love to see that happen here in the church as we talk to you, that the power of the Holy Ghost has come down and fell on the church and baptized all of us in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And I said, Lord, what was it that was spoken by Peter in that hour that would cause the power of the Holy Spirit to show up in that hour? And Peter said that God told him, Jesus told him, he said, you go tell them. I've already told Cornelius that if he comes against you, you're going to be able to give them words that is going to be able to save them. He said, and the only way you can make it to heaven is to accept Jesus Christ in your life. So what did Peter preach? First off, he preached Jesus being born by a virgin, and Jesus being conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit as he moved upon Mary. And he preached Jesus as Jesus was a little child. And he went into the temple. He preached Jesus and how Jesus was anointed by the power of the Holy Ghost as he went down in the Jordan River. He preached Jesus and how he went about healing everybody. He preached Jesus and what Jesus preached. He preached Jesus and what Jesus could do in the miracle power of the Holy Spirit. He preached Jesus. He preached Jesus. He preached Jesus. It was words that was leading the family of Cornelius to get saved. I believe in the church today we need to preach Jesus a little bit more. Amen. I want you to smile at your neighbor, holler at him and say, you need Jesus tonight. Turn to somebody else and say, you need more Jesus. Every prayer that you are praying right now, every answer that you need to your prayer right now will be the same answer from God every time. He's going to say, no, you don't need temperance. You need more of Jesus. No, you don't need deliverance. You need more of Jesus. No, you don't need a blessing. You need more of Jesus. No, you don't need more power. You need more of Jesus. No, you don't need no more of all these things out there in the material world. What you need is more of Jesus, because the more of Jesus you get, the more heaven heaven you get. And the more heaven you get, the more of God you get. And the more God you get, the more in control you are. I want to preach Jesus in this house. I want to preach His blood that He bought our salvation there on the cross of Calvary. I want to preach Jesus that went down to hell and looked the devil straight in the eye and said, give me the key to death, hell, and the grave. And He come back up out of that grave, resurrected, powerful over every demonic devil that there was. He put him to an open shame, and He took back the keys and the victory from hell. And I want to preach Jesus ascending up to heaven, sitting down on the right hand of God, getting the earth for His inheritance, and Jesus being glorified, and the Holy Ghost coming at the command of Jesus, where Jesus said, I'll never leave living water. I'll never forsake living water. I'll never give up on you. I don't care how far you run away from me. I want to preach Jesus. Because Jesus will cause the Holy Spirit to fall on us. The Bible says it is Him that baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. I want you one more time here to say, tonight, holler out and say, I need Jesus. I want you to say it like you really mean it. Say, I know tonight I need Jesus. I know this church needs Jesus. We need more of Jesus. We don't need to get in unity. We need more of Jesus. We don't need to pray more. We need more of Jesus. We don't need to come to church more. We need more of Jesus. We don't need to get happy any longer. We need more of Jesus. We don't need to praise more. We need more of Jesus. We don't need to worship more. We need more of Jesus. We don't need to read our Bible more. We need more of Jesus. We don't need to preach more. We need more of Jesus. Everybody holler out and say, we need more of Jesus. So as I looked at that story, I began to research it, find out what it was that Peter preached. And I found the sermon that he preached. I read it carefully, and here's his outline. First of all, Peter got up and he preached that Jesus was born of a virgin. How many of you here tonight know that Jesus was born of a virgin? How many of you know that He was born of a virgin birth by the Holy Ghost conception upon Mary? I thank God that that earth prophecy come to pass, and I believe it today. He preached Jesus. He preached about the birth of Jesus Christ, point number one. Then point number two, He preached about His virtuous life. He said that Jesus lived a holy life, and He was put to death for no reason whatsoever. He never committed a sin. He's the only living person on the face of this earth that ever lived the law and dotted every I crossed every T. He's the only one that was in perfect righteousness with God. I don't know about you, but I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus lived the virtual life. And Paul said, I was crucified with Christ, and nevertheless it's me that's still alive. But it's not me that's living the life that I'm living right now. It's Jesus that lives on the inside of me that's living the life. We don't need to try to live Christian life no more. We need to let Jesus live the Christian life. Holler at somebody, say, He's going to preach Jesus. Amen. Point number three is He preached His vicarious death. How He died victoriously over the devil. How He took every sin that you have ever committed, every sin you will ever commit, and He took them and He wrote them down on a list, and He nailed them to the cross. And every devil that thought that they had a position and a place in your life, He put them to an open shame when He said, into thy hands, Lord, I commend my spirit. And He hollered out and said, it is finished. I believe when He said that day, it is finished. He told the devil, devil, it's finished at Living Water Worship Center. It's finished in Kip Nance's life. It's finished in Darlene Nance's life. You ain't got no more power in John Hargrave's life. It's finished. You're over with. You're done. I have victory in this hour. And I believe that we need to preach more of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Point number four, or number five, He preached about His visible return. I want you to know Jesus is coming. Tell your neighbor right beside him, say, Jesus is coming. Oh, tell another, holler at him and say, in case you don't know it, Jesus is on the way. He's coming, amen. Amen. Look at somebody and say, Jesus is coming. Jesus. Oh, we need to start telling the world Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. It won't take long. There ain't nothing that has to be fulfilled. There ain't another thing that's going to happen here on this earth for Jesus to split the eastern sky and to rapture us out of this area. Jesus is coming back to get His church. But before He comes back and gets His church, He's going to show back up in the pews and in the lives of His children, because His church is going to have the power of the Holy Ghost fall on them one more time. As He preached those points, and He got to that level and He began to tell him, Jesus is coming back. If you don't want to go to hell, you better get your life straight. That's right. He said, you ain't got to go to hell. I want you to smile at your neighbor tonight and say, you ain't got to go to hell. I want you to go a point further. I want you to look at him and say, and you ain't got to live in hell. I want to share with you, you ain't got to live in worry. You ain't got to live in depression. You ain't got to worry about what's happening out there tomorrow. You ain't got to worry about what the town is saying about you. You ain't got to worry about what they're saying about you or plotting against you at your job. You can live a life that you know is overcome. And God said you ain't got to worry about going to hell. You ain't got to worry about living in hell. God said you are more than a conqueror in the name of Jesus Christ. Now start living like it. Look at somebody and say, Jesus is coming back. Amen. He got to that point, and I believe in that hour that Jesus tapped Peter on the shoulder and he says, step aside, I'll take it from here. I'm waiting for the day here, Thelma, that God will tap Kip Nance on the shoulder and say, sit down, I'm going to take it from here. Amen. Oh, I can feel the Holy Ghost right now. I'll be so glad to go take the back pew bin and let Jesus preach for a little while. Amen. I believe right now that Jesus is about ready to take over. I believe here in Living Water Worship Center, he's about to take over. I was asked yesterday, I heard you were released from this church. I said, yep, the Lord has released me from this church. There ain't another thing that I got to do in this church to prepare the way for Jesus to show back up in this church. There ain't another thing in this church that I got to do. I got the bus ready to go grab the people that wants to hear and see the power of Holy Ghost and the power of Pentecost in the church. I've got the church paid off, ready to go. I got heat in the house. I got air in the house. I've got everything you need to praise the Lord. I got everything in here laying before you that is paid off in the power of Almighty God. That's a blessing from Jesus. I've done everything God told me to do, and I want you to know he's released me from doing anything else. He says, I'm fixing to tap you on the shoulder. The more you preach about Jesus, I'm going to tap you on the shoulder, and when I do, I'm going to set you down, and I'm going to take care of pastoring the church from that point on. And when I do, the Holy Ghost is going to fall on everybody. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, we need to see the power of Holy Ghost. You see, we knock ourselves out. We wear ourselves down. We worry book over book, and we travel around looking for revival. But the secret to revival today is this church, and every church needs more Jesus. We didn't come to beat our own drum. We come to beat the drum of Jesus Christ. And I believe that when I spoke to you and I speak to you about Jesus, that the Holy Ghost is getting prepared to come. I believe the more you realize that Jesus came and paid the ultimate price for you, and he saved you from a devil's hell. He saved you from sickness and disease. Every one of us here that's had COVID is already supposed to be dead, but we're still alive here this morning. God has used Jesus in our life, and I believe the more we praise Jesus, the more we point out his power, the more we point out the 5 points about him, that he was born of a virgin birth, that he lived a righteous life, that he died on the cross for you in victory, that he went down to hell and he defeated the devil and every one of his imps, and he come back up and he raised himself up by the power of the Holy Spirit and ascended up to heaven, and he commissioned the church to go preach the word of God, and he sent the power of the Holy Ghost to empower his church, and he was glorified by the power of God. I believe the more we preach that, the more we're going to see Jesus show up in the house. Amen. Slap somebody on the side of the plate and look at him and say, he's about to fall on us. I want to share with you, just like he did in the upper room, I foresee a day very shortly that the power of the Holy Spirit is going to show up. And the Bible says when he showed up in that house, he showed up in the house and he filled everything in that house. They want a corner in the house that won't full of the Holy Ghost. Boy, they want nothing on that stop him. The walls didn't contain the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout out and say amen. It left the house and it went out in the streets. And when it went out in the streets, the Bible says suddenly a sound came from heaven. That sound come from heaven, and it literally shocked everybody in the whole town. When it shocked everybody in the whole town, they come running to find out what God had going on at the church. I'm waiting for the hour in Living Water Worship Center that something will happen in this church that will cause people from Lumberton and Bladenboro and Whiteville and Tabor City and Roseboro and all of the towns around it to come. I'm running to see what is going on in the church. I'm ready for a sound from heaven to show up in the house and to fill it in every corner. And when it fills it at every corner, it'll get into every dark recesses of your soul. I believe that God is about to pull you so full of the Spirit that you can't contain it. I believe it's about to overflow you and you will not be able to handle it. I believe that it's going to get so tight on you that you're going to have to get up off of that pew. You're going to have to praise him. You're going to have to show the world the power of Pentecost. The problem in the world today, the problem in the church today, is they don't see the power of Pentecost anymore. We have people coming to church, they're sick. and they leave still sick. They can come into the church and they can believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Jesus to heal us. And because people don't have their mind where it needs to be, as we pray for them, faith takes away what God wants to do. I'm looking for a day and hour when you can bring someone into this church that's bound by crack cocaine, that's bound by crystal meth, that's hooked on fentanyl, that's hooked on heroin, and stand them right here in front of this church, and one word would set them free by the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm waiting on the hour when my drunk brother comes back into this house and eventually and immediately have his mind straightened back out and began to live for the Lord and stand behind that piano and play music like he knows he can play it for Jesus Christ. I'm waiting for the day and the hour for the Holy Spirit to fill this house and fill you full and get into every dark recessed corner that there is, and let's clean this house up. I'm waiting for it to do it. And until I see you here, I'm going to preach Jesus. I want you to smile at your neighbor and say, we're going to preach Jesus. We're going to preach Jesus. We're going to preach Jesus. Jesus is coming back and we need to get ready for him. Amen. Amen. I believe that God's glory wants to come back into the house. Amen. And Peter, as he began to preach, he said, as I began to preach without a notice, without warning, immediately as I preached and shared with them how they could be saved, the power of the Holy Ghost fell on them. And my prayer this week for Living Water Worship Center is, Lord, do it again. Amen. Fall on us one more time. Amen. Lord, come back down on Living Water Worship Center one more time. I want to be able, when I finish up my sermons in this house, to validate it by looking at what it was 2,000 years ago and say, this is that was spoken of the prophet Joel, that the power of God will be poured out on all flesh, that young men will dream dreams, will see visions, and dream dreams, and men will see visions. I want to see that maidservants are going to prophesy. I want to see the power of God in action, where disease cannot set in the church anytime, that no devil can walk in this church and stand in this church, that every power of the Holy Ghost will be evident, all nine gifts of the Spirit in operation in the church, driving hell out of here, causing demons to jump out of the window and run from this place, because God said, I want to fall down on you one more time. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor here and say, get ready for the Holy Ghost. Tell them again, say, get ready for the Holy Ghost. I'm ready for that sound. How many is ready for that sound? Amen. I'm telling you, I'm ready. I'm looking for a sound from heaven. I don't know about you, I don't need to hear no sound from the church of God. I don't need to hear no sound from the assembly of God. I don't need to hear no sound from the Methodist church. I don't need to hear no sound from New Light over there. I don't need to hear a sound from a friend telling me what they're doing in another church. I need to hear a sound from heaven. Amen. Amen. I don't need to hear another sound from Washington. Every time something comes from Washington down, say, I've heard all I want to hear from Washington. I don't need to hear nothing else from Donald Trump. I want to hear the power and the sound of the Holy Ghost from heaven. I need to hear a sound from heaven. This church needs to hear a sound from heaven. I need to hear a sound from heaven. It don't matter what the world is saying. It don't matter what your church is saying. I want you to know God said in the last day, I will visit my church one more time, and the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. My God is ready to move, and he's ready to fall on you. How many of you here tonight would just lift your hands up and say, Lord, fall on us one more time. Amen. I'm ready for it to come from heaven. Amen. I didn't come here to be political, but help me, God, I don't want to hear nothing else from Washington, D.C. I don't need to hear nothing else from Raleigh telling me what I can do and what I can't do. I want to hear what the church can do through the power of God himself. I want to hear his voice coming in. I'm so sick and tired of legislators feeling like that they can work it out and they got the answers for everything. I know that my God is going to literally confuse them to the point to where they're going to have to look at the church, and there's going to be a sound that happens from heaven in the church that's going to straighten out this world one more time. I'm here to tell you, I represent Living Water Worship Center, but I don't even need to hear a sound from Living Water Worship Center. I need to hear a sound that's coming from heaven to fire Living Water Worship Center back up. Can you say amen? I believe when we see to hear that sound, right behind it's going to be a rushing mighty wind. What does a wind do when it blows? How many's ever lived through a hurricane? What happens when the wind blows? I was out today right after church walking the dog, picking up limbs from this last storm that just come around. It just tore everything out of the pecan tree. Lord God, help you if you got a pecan tree in the yard, because there's so many twigs there. Lord, I've already burnt, I don't know how many of them, and I still got probably 25 other bonfires to go around, and there ain't no dog helping me pick it up, and my wife sure ain't, and my sister ain't either. I'm having to pick them all up right by myself. When the wind comes, it starts blowing some things around on it, men. If the wind was to come into your house like that, it'll blow everything that's dirty out of the house. I'm waiting for the rushing mighty wind of the Holy Spirit to hit Living Water Worship Center and blow out all this disunity. Blow out all of this here doubt. Blow out all of this stuff that's literally blocking up the Holy Spirit and changing him up and setting him in an obscure corner. I'm waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit to show up in the mighty wind and blow that stubborn attitude out of your mind. I'm waiting for the wind of the Holy Ghost to come upon you and blow that lackadaisical heavy heart and that hard heart out of you and get you one-on-one with God one more time. I'm ready for the power of God to show up in this house. I'm ready for the wind. Look at your neighbor and say, get ready for the wind. You see, when you got a ragtag group such as us that's here at Living Water Worship Center, we got a whole lot of stuff that's wrong with us, and the only thing that can blow it away is the wind of the Holy Ghost. I'm beginning to understand the preacher can't preach it out of you. It's going to take the Holy Ghost to get that hell out of you. Amen. I'm called to help God sweep the hell out of the church. But when he comes, he blows the hell out of the church. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, I want to be able to say when it's all said and done, that this is validated by what happened 2,000 years ago. I believe here in this church, we still got some Peters. Would you say amen? We sure do. We got some Peters right now. Boy, if you got on to them, they'd pull a sword in a heartbeat and cut your ear off. But on the flip side of that, there we got a Peter that can stand up and validate and say, this is that was spoken by the Holy Ghost through the prophet Joel. I believe we still got some Peters in the house of God. Amen. I believe that God can send the wind of the Holy Ghost to come in here and blow out everybody's anger. I believe that the rushing mighty wind, when it shows up, is going to come in here and blow out all of our laziness. I believe that the God of all glory is about to send the wind of the Holy Ghost to blow things up in the church. I believe that God is going to literally send the whirlwind of the Holy Ghost in here to get rid of some of our garments and to lay our garments and our identity now so that we can put our life on the cross and let us be the carrier of the gospel that God called us to be. I'm preaching a whole lot better than some of y'all talking here tonight. I want you to know I'm looking for a sound. I'm listening for that sound, and I'm looking to feel the wind, and I hope you'll be here when the wind comes. Amen. Amen. Because when the wind comes, the gifts of the Holy Ghost begin to be blowed in. Amen. How many are ready for the gifts of the Holy Ghost? Amen. When the wind comes, gifts of healings start showing up in the house. You don't have to walk in here and have a migraine headache for 3 hours. You can have somebody just say a simple word of prayer in unity and that migraine's gone. You don't have to sit in here with high blood pressure. You ain't got to sit in here with your heart about to jump out of your chest. You ain't got to sit in here with a blood clot in your vein. And when the wind of the Holy Ghost begins to blow, the healing power of God shows out. And such as I have, I want to give unto you. You can walk out of here and in the name of Jesus Christ, leave and praise the Lord. It don't matter what the doctor said about you. It don't matter what the diagnosis said. It don't matter what the x-ray said. It don't matter what the CAT scan said. God said, when I show up, I'm blowing in my gifts of the Spirit. I believe that he's going to blow in the gifts of tongue, or where he can start talking to heaven one more time. I believe that he's going to fill every square foot of this house. Amen. And every square foot of your house. Amen. Your temple. I'm waiting for a sound. But we need to see the power of Pentecost. You see, seeing the power of Pentecost caused 3,000 people to come to the Lord in one day. Seeing the power of Pentecost made 5,000 people lay down their hard heart and give their heart to God. Seeing the power of Pentecost show up in Cornelius' household, spread from the one little household of the Gentiles, and it's come over to Azusa Street in California and now overtook the world. And because of that, because of actually being able to see people that were sick healed, people that were bound and held in possession by a demonic spirit delivered. Being able to see, legs grew back, fingers grew back, eyes opened up. Being able to see that, let everybody know that God's still alive. Amen. And that's what the world needs to see today. Amen. And I want to leave you tonight to tell you, there is an untouched power of God awaiting Living Water Worship Center. It is a power that God has for us. And God is wanting us to experience that power.
That's right.
And I pray that this church will let him fall on us like he did back then.
Praise God.
I want Thelma so anointed when she goes out on her missions that her shadow will heal diseases. I want you so anointed that when you go into your place of work, that there can't be any argument, there can't be any drama, because the anointing on you is so strong that it'll straighten out all that stuff and run hell out of that their vessel. I want you to be able in your family to show up at the family reunion with the power of Almighty God, and the whole family have to give their heart to God. I want to see the Holy Ghost fall in the IGA. I want to see the Holy Ghost fall at the town meetings. I want to see the Holy Ghost fall at your family reunion. I want to see the Holy Ghost fall while we're eating dinner over there in that fellowship hall on the third Sunday. I'm ready for the power of the Holy Ghost to fall.
Amen.
And I believe that right now, Jesus is tapping Kip Nance on the shoulder saying, okay, I'll take it from here. So get ready for Jesus to start preaching to you. Amen.
Amen.
Lace your hands on somebody's shoulder and say, let him fall on us.
Let him fall.
Tell your neighbor again, say, let's let him fall on us. Somebody here tonight, you need to start seeking the power of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You're going through some situations. You're going through some issues. You might say, well, I got baptized years ago. You need a refilling.
That's right.
What's going on in your life right now is because you let the Holy Spirit seep out of you some.
That's right.
You need a refilling.
Amen.
You need to start seeking the power of the Holy Ghost in your life one more time.
Amen.
I don't care what the doctor has told you. You are not sick. You are healed by the power of Almighty God.
Amen.
I don't care what the diagnosis is of the world for this church. I don't care even if in your mind the devil is trying to tell you the living water will not come back again. My God said, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. And if you'll preach what it takes to get somebody saved, I'll fall on them like I fell on them before. I'm beginning to see that God is going to grab some of these hard hearts that wouldn't come to this altar this morning, and he's going to jerk them to the altar and tug them back into his spirit. And people that are hooked on drugs and alcohol, people that are living together instead of being married, I believe God's going to straighten it out, because the wind of the Holy Ghost is coming to blow it all out of here. Amen. So I want to encourage you. Go grab them. Go get all of them that's shacking up. Go get all of them that's partying on Saturday night. Go get all of them that's at the club on Friday night and on Saturday night. Bring them on into the church. Because the more you bring them and the more I preach Jesus, the more the Holy Ghost is going to want to fall. And the more that we got here, God will move in that hour. And when he does so, you'll see crack addicts come through the crack pipe into the offering plate. You'll see people give up drugs, and we'll have to call the cops and tell them to come get the code. Okay, and lock it up that they've gave it up together. I want you to know God is about to do something in this church, and if you believe that with me tonight, I want you to give God a praise before he ever does that. I want you to give him a good hand clap of grace. I want you to stand up and give him a standing ovation, because God is saying, I'm about to fall on you like I did before. So my encouragement and consolation to you tonight as you leave is to let him fall on you.
Amen.
Let him fall on you like he did before. Get hungry enough that you're going to be in the place that he promised he would be. The Bible says, if any two are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst. It's a promise that he said, I'll meet you when you come together. And if that's where he's going to be and you want to see him, then you go where there's two people joined together. Because he's here. I want you to know that he's here tonight. He wants to fall on you tonight. He don't want you to leave out of here without a communication system to the throne room of God, where the devil can't even decipher what you're saying to God. You see, the devil don't like a church that'll pray in tongue, because when you pray in tongue to the Heavenly Father, he don't know what God's up to.
Yeah.
He's got to get there and try to get you to spill the beans. But I want to share something to you here tonight. We're about to validate what God is about to do in this church with what God done in Acts chapter number 2 as the power of the Holy Spirit showed up. And I want you to know He's about to blow everything out of your life that's not satisfying unto Him. Because we are in the 11th hour of visitation. Jesus is coming to the church. And the Bible says judgment must first begin at the house of God. And He said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the unjust and the ungodly appear? I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the wind of the Holy Spirit. I'm ready for a sound from heaven. I'm tired of fighting against the enemy and the enemy winning, it seems. So here tonight, I want to tell you, Jesus said He'd never leave you. He'd never forsake you. He's going to go with you. He's going to go before you. He's going to take care of your past. He's on your right hand and on your left hand, on top of you, on the bottom of you. And when you go to work tomorrow, things are going to change. When you show up to go shopping tomorrow, things are going to change. When your family members start coming around, things are going to change. If you'll just be willing to let Him fall on us like He fell on them way back then. The world needs to see the power of Pentecost. But truthfully, living water needs to see that power. Amen. I want to share with you as I close. If you'll join with me on the same page. I've laid my hands on the sick before and cancer has been healed. I've laid my hands on people that can't see and they leave out of here when they are, can't see and they can see. I've had death laying right in front of me and I've laid my hands on them and they've come out of the hospital and they've come back home and they're still living today. My God is still a God that can still work miracles. But we got to allow Him to fall on us. We got to quit doubting what our God is. We've got to commit to Him 100%. We've got to lay our garments down, quit being who we think we are, and let God know who we really are. Smile at your neighbor and say, show him the power of Pentecost. Now I want to know tonight, how many of you really are aching to see that happen? We got to have a revival. So let's pray. Father, here tonight I have given Your word. I gave Your word this morning. I gave Your word tonight. Father, I am prophesying to this church that You have not left them. You've not walked away from them. You're still with them. God, now in the name of Jesus, I thank You that You have used me to get this word across. Tonight, Lord God, as we began to seek the power of the Holy Spirit, we began to seek the Holy Ghost. Father, I promise You tonight I'll preach Jesus. I'll preach Jesus born of a virgin birth. I'll preach His victorious righteous life. I'll preach His vicarious death. I'll preach His resurrection. I'll preach His ascension. I'll preach His glorification and His exaltation. I'll preach that He is the only way to be saved here in this world today. Father, I will not back up on the gospel message. I'll preach the gospel message. I'll pave the way, Lord God, in the way that I possibly can, Lord God, to minister to the hearts of people that will give You the idea and the hour and the avenue to be able to come and fall down upon us like You did 2,000 years ago. Father, tonight, if there's anything that we need You to fall on us. God, we pray for You, believing tonight that You will begin to show us the power of Pentecost in this church. God, and take the hearts of these people that this morning, some were jolted, some were heard, some heard what You had to say, some didn't. But Lord, as they hear Your word and they apply it to Your life, Father, I pray that the wind of the Holy Ghost will show up in their life. I pray, Lord God, that the sounds of heaven will show up in their life and fill their house where they're sitting, every area in their house. I pray, Lord God, as angels are released, Lord God, that You'll go before them to the workplace, that You'll go before them when they go shopping. I pray that You'll go before them when they go to visit other people and You'll prepare the way for Your Holy Spirit to fall on them exactly as You fell upon the church 2,000 years ago. God, I sense in my spirit You want to baptize Your church in the Holy Ghost once again. I believe that You want to do it today. God, and we want to be that church that aids You in doing so. Father, go with us tonight. Lead God and direct us. Bring us back in love and in unity, Lord God, with a commitment that we are going to serve You and we're going to pave the way for Jesus to fall down on us like He did again. Keep us safe in love and in unity. Let us be a light to someone this week. Father, help us to minister unto them words that can cause them to be saved in the name of Jesus. And our church says, amen and amen. If you love the Lord, give Him a good hand. Say amen. shake a hand, hug a neck, tell them you love them. If you don't like that person too,